Kuf Beis, Amud Beis, and what we covered so far is the Mishnah of Tful Yom, the beginning of the Perek, and all the way till the end of the Sugyas HaGemara on Kuf Beis, Amud Beis. And we began our study of the Mishnah on Daf Kuf Gimel, Amud Aleph. So here we are in the Gemara, which is approximately 10 lines down from the top of the Amud, Tana Rabbanan. And this Braisa, which is going to occupy our minds for the balance of the Shia, is focused on a phrase called Olas Ish. And we've already seen that phrase in the Mishnah. Olas Ish. The Mishnah had derived from the Pasuk Olas Ish that the Kohen, who's Makriv the Ola, has rights to eat the Ar. And the Pasuk in Vayikra Zayin reads, Va'Kohen ha-Makriv es Olas Ish, Ar ha-Ola shar hikriv, la-Kohen lo-yir. And the Mishnah, it uses the phrase Ola sha-Olsalish, means it's got to be an Ola k'shera, as opposed to, let's say, Nishkita, let's say Chutzuzmano, Chutzumkomo, and it's possible where the Kohen doesn't get rights to the R. But in a case of also Le'ish, the Mishnah establishes that the R of the Ola is Zachaba Kohen. The Kohen gets the R. The rest of the carbon, the Basar, is of course Kolol Agabi Mizbeach. Now the Braisa sees in this a two-word phrase, olas ish a miut, pratli olas hegdesh. And the Kohanim are excluded from zechia be'ar in the case of olas hegdesh divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Now, the Gemara is going to clarify what olas hegdesh means. I'll just, in anticipation of the Gemara, throw out one possibility. There are a number of possibilities. But you can actually take a carbon ola and be magdishit lebedek habayis and superimpose kedushas bedek habayis onto a kedushas aguf of ola, in which case the ola now belongs to hegdish b'toras momen hegdish b'kinyono by superimposing a kedushas domim onto the kedushas aguf. And once it belongs to the Migdash, the Hegdash, therefore the Kohen is excluded. But we'll see this as we go along. In any event, this is the opening line in the Braisa, and it's Rabbi Yehuda. Now the Braisa quotes Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, and he has a different miut from this pasuk, Pratli Olas Gerim. And once again, this is a very ambiguous phrase. The Gemara is going to have to clarify this as we go along. Because why should an Ola's Gerim be any different than an Ola of Yisrael Gomur? And why should the Kohen be excluded from the R? So that's the end of the Bryce. The Gemara now analyzes this Bryce so piece by piece. What does the Bryce mean? Pratli Ola's Hegdesh. What does this phrase Ola's Hegdesh mean? And we start with the Shita of Rabbi Chia Bar Yosef. That's Shita number one. Pratli Ola Haba'a Min HaMosros. Okay, this is an Ola that is purchased from the what's called the Keitz HaMizbeach. So what's the entire scenario? There was a Karban Asham, and the Karban Asham was not brought on the Mizbeach. Let's say, for example, it was a case of Mesu Bailov, or a case where the Asham was only a Tmuras Asham, or perhaps the Asham got lost. In all these cases, when we find the Asham, it's Yira Ad Shiyastayev, which means we wait until the carb on the animal grazes in the fields and is blemished. It becomes a Balas Mum, and therefore it's subject to chilul, and we transfer the value of the animal over to domim, over to the money. the money is going to be used to purchase what's called an olas nedava shel tzibur. That's where the davim go. And these olos have another name to them. It's called olos keitz hamizbeach. And they're brought by the tzibur when the mizbeach is free of business. Instead of the mizbeach being idle, we're going to bring these olos keitz hamizbeach onto the mizbeach. But in this case, there's no private ownership, shall we say, which would allow for the kohen to get the or. It's a nedavas tzibur. It belongs to the tzibur. It's purchased from money that fell to the keitz hamizbeach. And these mosros, since they have a din of tzibur, olas tzibur, as we said before, olas nidvas tzibur, therefore they're not subject to the law of or. Meaning, it's not called olas ish. Ish here means private ownership. In this case, the ola is an olas tzibur. And the damim of this ola are considered mos hegdesh. In other words, the ola is an olas tzibur. It's not an olas ish. It's not, there's no bailim or bailus on this behema. Let's say, for example, the case of tmuras asham. And therefore, many, many different halachas or repercussions apply insofar as there's no private ownership. The last one on the list is what's relevant to us, that the kohen doesn't have his chus in the or. We'll see exactly what we have to do with the or in such a case. Now, what are some of the dinim that apply to the mosar of this asham, whether it be asham shevei subaylov, or we mentioned before other cases, other scenarios? Number one, there is no din of smicha, because smicha only applies to a private karban, not to a karban tzibur. Number two, there are no nesachim, or at least I can tell you that the bailim don't have to pay for the nesachim. They're out of the picture. Maybe the nesachim will be purchased from Mammon of the Tzibur, from the kupa of the Keitz HaMizbeach. So there's no smicha. Not only that, the Kohen is not, let's say for example, if the original Bailam of the Asham was a Kohen, he doesn't have rights to do the Avodah. Normally, when a Kohen brings his own Karban, and we discussed this at great length, I think, yesterday, the Kohen has first rights, even if he's not part of the Mishmah, to do the Avodah. But here, the Kohen, is not the Bailim of this Ola, because this Ola is coming to replace a Shlomim, but it's not, like the Shlomim, the original, a private Karban, but rather it's coming from the Tzibur. It's a Nedavas Tzibur. So what do we do now with the R? The R, likewise, is not designated for the Kohen because it's not a private Karban. And therefore it's not considered Olas Ish. What we do with the R is that we sell the R, and we're going to use the Damim from the sale of the R to go back into the Keitz HaMizbeach to purchase Behemos Li'ola. That's what Rashi says, not here but in Tmura. And there's a whole discussion here about the status of the R and its relationship to Zrika, because normally we would say that Zrika should effectively be motzi the R l'chulin. In other words, we have here halacha of mosros, and the mosros is designated for nidvas tzibur, as we said before. And the oros, insofar as they're part of the behema, they have a certain element of kedusha, and even the damim of the oros have some sort of element, residue of kedusha. They are not yotzi lechulin, but rather they fall into the keitz hamizbeach. So the Gemara asks the following kasha now. Nichalamandi Omar. Okay, this is a machlokes in Masech de Tmur and Daf Chofam in Beis. One man, the Omer, is the Chachomim, and they hold that Mosros is Linidvas Tzibur Ozli, meaning the Mosar of the Asham is sold, and the money designated for the Keitz HaMizbeach is now used to purchase Nidvas Tzibur. That's what we've been understanding until now, and therefore it's not Olas Ish, and the R is excluded from the Zchus of the Kohen. So that works out well. However, there's another Mandi Omer there in the Sugyan Tmurachov, and that's Rabbi Eliezer. So Gemara says, El Mandi Omer, according to Rabbi Eliezer, or a blazer is more meduyok, who holds that the domim of the Mosros is designated for a nidvas yachid ozli, in which case the ola really is olas ish. There is a private ownership. According to Rabbi Lazar, if a person was the bailam on, for example, tmuras asham, then if this tmuras asham is used through the process of converting it into domim to purchase an ola, then that bailim on the tmuras ha'asham is the bailim on the ola that replaces the asham, and he has to bring the nesachim from his own pocket, and he does smicha, and if he's a kohen, he'll do the avoda. That's all according to Rabbi Elazar, because he doesn't have this concept of a nidvas tzibur, but rather to nidvas yochid. Is Michael a meimar? Now we have to go back to the brisa and look at the brisa from the perspective of Rabbi Elazar and decide for ourselves, what does Olas Ish exclude? You know, it can't be excluding an Ola Abom and Amosos, because an Ola Abom and Amosos, according to Rabbi Elazar, is indeed an Olas Ish. It's a privately owned carbon yachid. It's an Olas yachid. And the Gemara answers, Kida Omar Rava. Now, let's see if we can learn the Shita of Rava. This Shita of Rava is being grafted here from a different Masechta, from Masechta Yuma Daf Lamed Dalid, where Rava darshins the Pasuk in Vayikra Vav, Pasuk Hey, Ve'a'esh al ha-mizbeach, ve'arach oleha ha-ola. Notice the word, the letter Hey, the extra Hey, ayidiyah of ha-ola. So Rava wants to know, why doesn't the Torah just say ve'arach oleha ola? Why does it say ve'arach oleha ha-ola? What are we meant to derive from the extra hay? And according to Rava, this extra hay is telling us a certain urgency in a time preference. You know, ha'ola, right now, mi'at. You know, it's the first thing you do on the Mizbeach in order to set up the Haktorah is you burn the Eitzim on the Mizbeach. And the Torah is now telling us, V'ha'esh al ha-mizbeach, and now immediately, V'yarech aleha ha-ola, that famous ola, that significant ola, that's called the ola rishona, because that's going to go onto the esh immediately as we open up the Beis HaMikdash for its morning, for its new day, bring this ola, this very, very significant ola, onto the esh. Now, in order to appreciate which Ola is the Ola Rishona, the significant Ola that has to come first, you have to open up the Parsha in Bamidbar Chaf Ches, which is the Parsha that we read every morning in Shachris, in Karbonos, and that's the Olas Tamid Shel Shachar. And this Pasuk says, Rav, the extra Hey is coming to teach us that no carbon could be brought on the Eish, on the Mizbeach, before the Tamid Shel Shachar. It's got to be the first that kicks off the day. Now, why does the Gemara now quote Rav? We're not learning the dinim of Hashlama and Ola Rishona and Ola Tamid Shel Shachar. None of this is really relevant to us. But we're using Rav to determine a kind of biblical structure in terms of how to understand the word, the etymology, and the extra letter He. And the Gemara says, Hachinami, let's use the method of Rav to darshan our pasuk in Vayikra Zayin that we've been talking about regarding the R. Let's read the pasuk once again. Va'kohena makrivis olas ish or ha'ola asher hikriv la'kohen lo yeh. Again, the extra word hey. Now, using Rava's terminology, although conceptually we're applying it in a totally different way, it's again going to be ola rishona. The hey means ola rishona. Here, in this context, the Gemara is using Ola Rishona to refer to the Ola that was designated as an Ola, as opposed to what we call Mosros or Mosar Asham, where the Ola is a secondary replacement through the chilul of the mos and the Keitz HaMizbeach and the purchasing of the Ola to replace the Yoshem. We're not talking about that. The Torah here is talking about the karmon that was itself designated l'shem Ola. And this excludes, you know, it's the hay of Ha'ola Rishona excludes a number two Ola. You know, we're second best, but here the second best is not good enough. So that's the Ola that comes from Mosar Asham. Because again, in the case of an Ola that comes from Mosar Asham, it's not an original Hakadosh of the Ola as an Ola, but rather it's coming Mikoach, the Behema, which was Mitchilosa, not an Ola at all, but rather an Asham. So the Torah in this extra hay is coming to be Mamayit, the R of the Ola that comes Mina Mosros, and it's not Shayach to the Kohanim. The Kohanim have no rights to this R. And this can be reconciled or can be Mistader, even with the Sheet of Rabbi Lazar and Tmura, who says that the Mosar of this Asham is a Nidvas, is an Olas Yachid, where logically we would have therefore included the Ola into Olas Ish, but the extra He is going to teach us to exclude the R Ola in the case of Mosros, despite the status of the Ola as a Nidvas Yachid, nevertheless the Kohanim are excluded from the R. But now the Gemara presents a whole different sheet. Until now, we call it Hakafa Aleph. We were analyzing this brisa from the perspective of Rabbi Chiya Bar Yosef. Now we have another perspective, which we hinted at earlier, and that's Rabbi Aibu Omar of Yanai. What does the brisa mean when it says Prat li olas hegdesh? Prat li matvis ola lebedek habayis. So we have a carbon ola that was designated as sanctified as such, and now a person is matvis, he wants to add, so to speak, a graft on or add another layer of dimension, of definition, of hegdesh onto the ola, onto the carbon which has kedushas haguf of ola, and that's called bedek habayis. So he wants to superimpose, like a second koma, a kedushas damim, which is called, otherwise known as Bedek HaBayis, on top of the Kedushas HaGuf of the Ola, as a karma. And once he does so, and this is pretty new to us, a pretty radical idea, there is an immediate nafkamina, and that is that the Kohanim no longer have rights to the R, and it's not considered Olas Ish, but rather it's called Olas Hegdesh. Hegdesh meaning it's under the bailus of Hegdesh. Now, at this point, the Gemara says, wait, hold on. This seems to be a fundamental breakthrough, which is a major issue in the Sugyas HaGemara in Tmura, on Daf Lamed Beis Amid Beis. There are two shitos about whether this whole institution, this whole enterprise of being Matvis Hegdesh, meaning Kedushas Bedek HaBayis, onto a carbon is really valid. At least on a derisa level, does the Torah recognize such an enterprise? Can you actually add a kedushas damim onto a kedushas haguf? So the Gemara says, "Fine, lo mi boy le mandi omer kachi bedek habayis tafsi b'derisa." According to that, mandi omer mesecht etmura that validates the kedushas bedek habayis that was added on top of a kedushas haguf. And Rashi points out that nafkamina is according to that mandi omar, you can't shech the carbon. On a deraisa level, you can't shech the carbon until you poda the hegdesh. Because again, kedushas bedek habayis as opposed to kedushas haguf lends itself to pigeon. But now it belongs to hegdesh. You have no rights to shech it as a carbon until first you remove the hegdesh rights and you could do a pigeon. Yeah, this would be an interesting quiz question. I wake you up in the middle of the night and ask you, in what circumstance, what scenario, could there be a pigeon on a carbon? And the answer is, no, it can't be, which is really true in a sense. But at least a mice pigeon on a cheft, on a behema, that's kodesh b'kedushas haguf, kodesh b'kedushas carbon. And that would be a case, according to this Mani Yom Tmur, where you superimposed bedek habayis, and now you're going to go ahead in order to be makir of this carbon, you're going to have to do a pigeon on that dimension of kedusha. Obviously, the pigeon can't be effective on the kedusha guf, but rather on the Kedushas Perek HaBayis, the Kedushas Dami. So if this be the case, everything works out beautifully, because you cannot call this carbon, this Ola, an Olas Ish, because it belongs to Hegdish, and therefore the Kohanim have no rights to the R. But now Rabbi Aibu, in the name of Rabbi Yane, wants to be Mechadish even more than Alfilu Mandiyom, even according to Mandiyom there in Tamura, who says Lo Tafsi, on a Deraisa level, you cannot superimpose a Kedushas Perek HaBayis on a Behemah, a Behemah's Kodshim, meaning on Kedushas HaGuf. And perhaps the reason for that is because you yourself, after you magdish the animal, in a sense forfeit your bailus. So you don't have the bailus, you don't have the ownership rights to be magdish the ola to Perek HaBayis. In other words, you, by being magdish the animal to Kedushas Guf, meaning to the Mizbech, you already forfeited your Zchus Mamon, and therefore you don't have anything in this carbon but a Zchus Kapara, but to be Magdish it and now transfer its ownership over to Hegdesh, that's impossible. Alternatively, you could say the other way around, that since the animal has got Kedush Saguf, that itself excludes the Vilus of Hegdesh. And in any event, you know, you want to exclude Olas Hegdesh, you want to use Olas Hegdesh to exclude this case, and he says, Hanibili, when and in what vis-a-vis what does this Mandi Omer exclude the Tfisas Kodshei Perek HaBayis on this Kedush Saguf? That's only Hanibili Basar. The Basar, which is Kadosh B'Kedush Saguf L'Mizbeach, doesn't lend itself to Kedushas Perek HaBayis. In other words, you can't be magdish something that's not yours. The basar is not yours. Therefore, you can't be magdish to Hegdesh. Or, that's interesting, because the R doesn't belong to the Mizbeach. There is no bailus, so to speak, of the Mizbeach. The Mizbeach can never demand the R. So in a sense, the original Hegdesh, although applies to the Gufa Behema Kula, but not to the R. That's an interesting phenomenon, that you could split, you know, the Kedush HaGuf and say the Kedush HaGuf doesn't apply to the R. I mean, you really have to know a lot about Me'ila and so forth to appreciate all this. But now the Gemara is saying, on a simple level, that the Basar itself is excluded from Kedushas Perek HaBayis according to this Man Yom, but the R is included in Perek HaBayis. That's called Tafis. So Daraisa, there is Kedushas Perek HaBayis on the R, and therefore that excludes the bailus, the rights of the Kohanim to the R, because of the Pasuk Olas Ish, meaning it has to be the R of the Kohanim, but not Olas Hegdesh, and here the R belongs to Hegdesh. So we have now two shitas in explaining the Brice. So we had the shita of Rabbi Chiya Bar Yosef, according to whom we're talking about Mosar Asham, where the money from the Moser Hashem goes into the Ketz HaMizbech to purchase an Ola. That Ola has the status of an Olas Nidav, and even according to Rabbi Lazar, who holds it's a Nidvas Yachid, it's an Olas Yachid, but nevertheless we have the Pasuk Hey, the extra Hey of HaOla, to exclude the Kohanim from the Nidvas Yachid in the case of Mosar. And now we have Rabbi Abba, who says that we're talking about an additional Hegdesh Hakdosh, I should say, to Perek HaBayis on top of the Kedush Saguf, and that already takes it out of the ownership rights of the Kohen, and it's no longer Olas Ish. Now, I'm thinking out loud here, what would be the din in this case of Matvis Olal Perek HaBayis vis-a-vis Nesachim Smicha, and vis-a-vis the rights of the Kohen to be Makir of the carbon if it's his. And again, I think that the answer to that question is that it's a no starter, that question, because there's no way it could be Makir of this carbon if it belongs to Perek HaBayis. You have to first do the pigeon. And then after you do the pigeon, you're back to square one, and the Kohen is if it's his carbon, he's in the driver's seat. However, that pigeon would not undermine this exclusion of the coin for R, which was generated already at the point in which it was Kadosh L'Kedushas Perek HaBayis. So it's not Chos V'Nir. The Gemara wants to suggest now that this machlokes that we saw about how to interpret Olas Ish to exclude Olas Hegdesh is really machlokes Amoroim. V'chein Omer Rav Nachman Omer Rabba Bar Avua. Then when the Brisa says Prat li Olas Hegdesh Prat li Ola Habamin Amosro, so that reflects the Shita of Rav Chiya Bar Yosef, that there's no rights of the Kohanim to the R. And Omale Rav Hamnun Rav Nachman Kiman Kirab Yehuda. And this understanding reflects the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. Now, we didn't get to Rabbi Yehuda yet. It's coming up in a brisa a little bit later on. But at least let's just assume, we'll give the Gemara the benefit of the doubt, that there's a certain Rabbi Yehuda in a brisa who holds that we can exclude the Kohanim from R in the case of an Ola Bamin Amosros. So the Gemara asks, this is the Kasha of Rav Hamnuna, addressing it to Rav Nachman, Hohaderbe. We're going to try to prove from the Braisa that even though Rabbi Yehuda originally maintained that position, but nevertheless, he dropped the ball and he changed his mind. The Sanya, we have a Braisa that says, Shisha Linedava. There were 13 shofros. These are kind of like kupos in the Migdash. And that's where people dropped off their money for Hegdesh. Out of the 13, 6 are designated for buying Olos Nidava. Now, why we need 6, we'll have to answer that question. But just to just touch on the tippy end of the fork of Shkolim, let's just mention the following: that besides the 6 kupos, the shofros as we call them, that we're going to talk about now for the Olos Nidava, there were an additional 7 shofros in the Migdash. One shofar was designated for people who did not bring their Machsa Shekel during its time in the month of Adar, so they were a little bit late. They brought their Shkolim for this shofar, and the Gizbar of Hegdish would take that those Shkolim from that shofar in the Lishka, and he would know what to do with it. The second shofar was for Shkolim Yeshona, meaning from someone who didn't participate in Machzah Shekel in the last year, and he's going to put his shekel in this second shofar. The Gizbarim are going to use that money for what's called Shiari Alishka, for last year's Shkolim. Then we have a third shofar that has to do with Kinim. Now, again, in a Ken, there's a Ken Torim and there's a Ken Bnei Yona, which is otherwise known as Olas Nedava. So if it was a Ken Torim, if a person wanted to be Misnadev and take upon himself this Olas Nedava of Torim, then he would place his money in a certain shofar, and the Gizbarim would buy Torim with that money, and they would be Makir. But if it was Bnei Yona for Olas Nedava, that was the nature of his Nedava, then they put it into a different shofar to make sure that they wouldn't mix up between Torim and Bnei Yona. Again, all depending upon what his Nedava was. And in that last shofar, the Gizbar would go ahead and take that money and buy Yonim to be Makriv them. Now again, as far as Kinei Chova is concerned, there were no shofaros in the Migdash for someone who's Mischayev a Ken Chova, because that there it gets more complicated. One of the two birds is an Ola, but the second one is a Chatos. In any event, this is all explained in the Sugya in Yuma on Daf Nun Hey Amid Beis, and the Mishnah in Shkolim in Perek Vav designates a fifth shofar, which is for Eitzim, a sixth that's for Levona, which would accompany the Lechem upon him on the Mizbech, and then the seventh was for the Zahav, for the Kapores. So anyone who wanted to give a various nedava out of his the goodness of his heart, for example, he wanted to give Eitzim l'mizbeach, or Lavona for nedava, or Zahav l'klishares l'mizrakos, and so forth and so on, he would put his money in the designated shofar. Now, in addition to those seven shofars, there were another six shofars that were designated for nedava. The Gemara Menachas Kuf Zayin tries to explain why they needed six shofros. The Gemara quotes Chizkiah that these six shofros corresponded to the Batei Avos, meaning who was in charge of the Avoda. There was a division of labor, so to speak, among six different Batei Avos of Kohanim, and it was a designated shofar for the Ola, for Ola's case, for each one of these six Batei Av. And our Brisa says, Shishal in Adava li Ola Haba'a min ha-mosros. So we're talking about six shofros that were designated to buy Olas Nedava, and we're talking about Olas Nedava for an Ola that comes from Mosros. As we discussed the great length before, in the case of Moser Asham, the money is used to buy an Olas Nedava. And now the Brisa adds, Shalo yu kohanim zakayim bi'ora. And in this case, when the Ola is a replacement, taken from the money of the Ketzim, is a replacement for the Moser Asham, the Kohanim have no rights to the Or, either, as we discussed before, because it's an Olas Tzibur, or because of a special Pasuk Miut of Hey Ha'ola. So the money is used, after they sell the Moser, it's used to buy this Ola Snedavav, and the Kohanim don't get any rights to the Or. And all this reflects everything we've been saying until now. It's interesting, we mentioned the question before, what you do with the Oros if the Kohen is bumped off. So they actually sell the Or, and the money that they use from the Or is used to purchase a behemoth Ola, for Kate Samizbeah. But anyway, all this is Rabbi Yehuda. Now, Omar Lo Rab Nechemia, and I assume here we're talking about in this Braisa Tana by the name Rab Nechemia, where we spent a lot of time, Rab Nechemia, at the end of Masechet Shabbos in the Sugi of Muktzah. We've also mentioned the Shita Rab Nechemia as far as Matan Domim of Chatos we had recently. But in any event, Amri Le, others say it was Rabbi Shimon. And they turn to Rabbi Yehuda and they say, Mkain, if you're telling me that an Ola that comes from Mosros, the Kohanim are excluded from the R in this Ola, is Bitalta Midrasho Shal Yehoyada HaKohen. This was a Kohen, a famous Kohen, during the period of Bignash Rishon, during the kingship of Atalia HaMalka and Yoash HaMelech, and Hores Yoash HaMelech is the pasuk Lasos Esayosha B'Eni Hashem. So we're amongst the good guys here. And this Yehoyada had a drasha. The Sanya Zem Midrash Dorash Yehoyada Kohen. He darshens a pasuk Vayikra Hey Asham Hu Ashom Asham Lashem. Now this is a very strange pasuk. There seems to be a contradiction, as Yehoyada points out. On the one hand, Asham is Lashem, as I state, Asham Hu Asham Lashem, which excludes the Kohen. But on the other hand, the pasuk says a little bit later on, it says, "Bachatoska Asham Torah Achas Lahem Hakohen Asher Yichuper Bo Lo Yeh." Lo Yeh means the Asham belongs to the Kohen. So how do we reconcile these two psukim, Lashem and Lo? And says Rabbi Yehoyada, the answer is Kol Sheba Mishum Chatos Umishum Asham, meaning we're talking about Mosros Chatos or Mosros Asham, where the Mos is used to purchase either a replacement Chatos, a replacement for the Asham, is then you have to fulfill with regard to this whole parsha of Mosros, both Lashem and Lakohen. How is that so? Yilokach bo oros. I'm sorry. I'm talking about oros. I got me. Yilokach bo olos. And what do we do with the carbon olos, which are a replacement for the mosar chatas mosar asham? Is here's where we split it. Habasar lashem. Ora lakon. Now this is fantastic, because this really is against everything we've been saying, because until now we've been saying that the Kohen, as far as the Ora, he's been excluded in the case of Moses. But here, Yod is saying that the word lo yia, that phrase, is coming to include the Kohen in the Ora. So therefore, the Ola that's purchased from Dmei Mosros, the R is given to the Kohen. I mean, this is against Rabbi Yehuda. Now, Rabbi Yehuda didn't come back and argue after they brought him Bitalta Bidrasha Shayo Yoda. And Shtika Koda Adam, it would seem that at the end of the day, Rabbi Yehuda withdrew. He rescinded his original position, Chazar Bo, because of the Drash of Yehoi Yoda HaKohen. Shtika Koda, he didn't argue. And therefore, at the end of the day, we're going to say that in the case of Mosros, when the money is used to buy an Ola, the Kohanim have rights to the R. Again, I'm not exactly sure why we need the word Lashem here in this context, because if we're using the money to buy an Ola, the Ola is Kule Kola Gabi Zvech. I don't know what the Chiddush here of Lashem is. But in any event, how could it be that Rav Nachman, as we saw before, holds like Rav Yehuda, that's the Kasha that we're asking here, Rav Humnun is asking to Rav Nachman, when Rav Yehuda himself withdrew his original position. You know, to say that there's an Amora who's going to, in a sense, resurrect the Shita of Rav Yehuda from the dead, when Rav Yehuda himself just dropped the ball and he gave up hope on this drasha. And he, Rav Yehuda, actually agreed that the R of Olas Moses goes to the Kohen. That's what we're saying over here. So Rav Nachman bounces back and he says, Amar Le, he tells Rav Hamnuna, Elamar b'may mukim le. Okay, good. You want to reject Rav Yehuda because of the drush of Yehuda of Yoyoda Kohen. So how are you going to interpret the Braisa? You know, you're not a big shot. You have to tell me what's pshat prat li olas hegdesh. And there's a whole discussion as to why this is an attack on Rav Hamnuna, because the option is to hold like Rav Yanai that we had earlier, that we're talking about matfis ola lebedek habayis. But that's not a possibility here because of another sheet of Rav Yanai in Yevamos Tzadi Gimel called Adam Makdish Dover Shalo Baliola. And we didn't touch on this at all, but basically a person cannot be Magdish if you hold the coin to Bani Omer, ain't Adam Magdish Dover Shalom, he can't be Magdish the R of an Ola for Bedek HaBayis. In any event, Amar Leih Rav Hamnuna responds to this challenger of Nachman and he says, Mukminan Leih, I'm going to explain Olas Hegdesh b'magdish nechasov. Again, I'm not sure why it says nechasov. It could have equally said that he was magdish this particular behemoth. But in any event, he was magdish nechasov. And here the Gemara invokes the Shita Rabbi Yeshua. And this is a mission in the fourth parak of Shkolin. Ki Rabbi Yeshua disnan ha-magdish nechasov. He was magdish all of his possessions lebedek habayis. Amongst his nechasim were healthy, unblemished, tmimim animals, zecharim unikevos. Do we assume that when he was makdish his nechasim for bedek habayis, he had in mind to exclude those behemoths that are royal in his be'ach? And the Mishnah records a machlokas here between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Eliezer Omer Azcharim Yimachru Litzarchei Olos. Nekevos Yimachru Litzarchei Zivchei Shlomim. Udmehem Yiplu Imshar Nechosim Leberek Habayis. And Rabbi Eliezer is not willing to say that those behemoths that are Uyos Lakrova are excluded from his Hakdasha. and he didn't have them in mind since they're Oilam Mizbeach, but rather we're going to take the Scharim and we're going to purchase Olos, and we're going to be Makriv the Olos. We'll see exactly where Rabbi Eliezer disagrees with Rabbi Yeshua, because even according to Rabbi Eliezer, at the end of the day, these Scharim are going to be used for Olos. And the Nekevos in this case for Shlomim. Right? There's no Ola from a Nekevos, so therefore we're talking about Shlomim now. So we're gonna basically sell his female animals for someone who wants to buy a carbon Shlomim, and he's going to bring it as Shlomim. And to Mayhem, the money that's collected for these Scharim and Nekevos, Yiplu Im Sha'ar Nechosim Levedek HaBayis. The money, no, nobody gets a portion of this money. It belongs exclusively to Hegdesh. And basically what it means is that with regard to Nechosim She'en Arumim L'Zbeach, we have no doubt that his mindset, his intention was to be Makdish Nef Kedush Levedek HaBayis. We're going to extend that to include even the Behemos Aruyas L'Zbeach. And he's interested, according to Rabbi Eliezer, in being Magdish, even the Behemos Haruyas L'Mizbeach, for Kedushas Berek HaBayis. But when we're going to be poed to them, we're going to be poed to them L'Tzarchei Karbonos, since they're Roy L'Mizbeach. Obviously, this is a very complicated sugya. It actually appears in its original form in Tmur Olam and Gimel Amid Beis. And I'll read to you the relevant line, which Rashi quotes in Tmura. Hamatvis tmimim lebedek habayis, kshem niftim, enam niftim elul mizbeach. Shekol aroy lemizbeach, eni yotzim idei mizbeach liolam. Udmeyam lebedek habayis. Very complicated halacha here. But that's according to Rabbi Eliezer. We're going to focus now our attention on Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Eliezer is willing to say that he had a general, all-inclusive kavana for Berek HaBayis, even for the animals that are Royal Mizbeach. It's just a separate din in pigeon, that the pigeon is going to have to be used ultimately for Karbonos, because we don't want to take the Mizbeach out of the picture. But Rabbi Yeshua says something totally different, that even though he's Makdish Stam, all of his Nechasim, nevertheless his mindset was, his intention was, that those animals that are Royal Mizbeach should be designated and sanctified for Kedush Saguf L'Mizbeach. Only that which is not Royal L'Mizbeach is going to be designated and consecrated for Berek HaBayis. Therefore, Zecharim Atzman Yikarvu Olos. The animals themselves, the male animals, will be Olos. They were sanctified as such, and we'll bring them on the Mizbeach as Olos. And the Kevos will become Shlomim. Okay, now, he says the following. I'm going to skip one line here about the Nekevos for just a second. Hopefully, we'll be able to come back and understand why he doesn't say simply that he's makriv the female animals as shlomim. Okay. But before we get to that, he says the following. That sha'ar nechasim, in other words, anything that's not royal in his bayach is yiplu lebedek habayis. So the Gemara clarifies this. Afil Rabbi Yeshua, di omar odom chole kekdesho, that which is royal in his bayach becomes kodesh b'kedush saguf l'mizbeach, hanimili, that's only as far as the basar, it's royal in his bayach, aval or, which is never royal in his bayach. The mizbeach, as we mentioned earlier, never has rights to the or, there's no akhtar of or, is Tophis, the Oros, becoming incorporated into Sha'ar Nechasim. Sha'ar Nechasim, I mean, other than that which is Royal Mizbeach. And therefore it's Kodesh B'Kedush Berek HaBayis, like all his other Nechasim. And if this is the Kavon of the Braisa, Olas Hegdesh, that the Or is not for the Kohanim, that's the way Rav Hamnuna could interpret the Braisa, that these Zecharim, which are Olos, are considered Olos Hegdesh insofar as they are Kadosh B'Kedushas Kedushas Berek HaBayis, and therefore the Kohanim are excluded. They have no rights to the Or. Now, what exactly changed over here? We said that as far as Mosos is concerned, we're not going to build ourselves on the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, and set up a case of Olas Hegdesh through an Olas Nedava as a replacement for Mosros, because ultimately in that case the R does belong to the Kohanim, and that's based on the Drasha of Yal Yada HaKohen. But what Rav Nachman is going to maintain here in terms of the interpretation of Olas Hegdesh, where the Kohen is excluded from the R, that Olas Hegdesh is the case where he's Magdish Olas Nechasim, according to Rabbi Yeshua, those animals that are Royal Mizbeach will be brought as Karbanos. The balance of his Nechasim will be Kodesh Mekdushas Berek HaBayis, and the Zcharim that are used as Olos, they are, as opposed to the Basar, belongs exclusively to Berek HaBayis, and that bumps off the Kohen. What did the Gemara mean here? The Brisa, what did it mean? The Mishnah, I should say. What did it mean when it said that Nekevos Yimachu Litzarche Shlom V'Yavi B'dmeim Olos? That was the line we skipped. Why can't we be makriv the female animals as shlomim? And the answer is he was Magdish Stam. And his das was that Royal Mizbeach Yekadosh Kimo Masha Kodesh B'kdushas Berek HaBayis. In other words, that which was Kodesh B'kdushas Berek HaBayis is Kadosh, completely Kadosh, and the Bailim are excluded completely. That which is Royal Mizbeach is also Kula Kadosh, and it has to be, in order to be Kula Kadosh, like the Hegdesh of Berek HaBayis, it has to be brought as an Ola. So the male animals can be brought as an Ola, that's called Kula Kadosh. But the Nekevos, which are not brought as Ola, but rather as Shlomim, we have a problem here. How are we going to get it Kula Kadosh? And the answer is we're going to have to sell the Nekevos and take the entire funds and buy Olos. Now, getting back to the Brice that we mentioned earlier, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, with regard to Olas Ish, Pratli Olas Gerim, and we were wondering, what does that mean that the Kohanim are excluded from the R in the case of an Olas Gerim? Well, why is Ger any different than Yisrael? Amalei Rav Simoi Bar Chilkai L'Ravina Otu Ger Lav Ishi. How do we understand this, Joshua, to exclude Olas Ish in the case of Ger? Amalei, so Ravina answers Rav Simoi with the following. He says, Prat, you have to reinterpret the Braisa, Leger Shemes V'Ein Lo Yarshin. Right? This is a famous case throughout Shas of Nichsei Ager. The Ger died and he has no relatives. Any of his biological relatives are halachically not related to him. So if he has no Yarshim and he died, then his Nechasim are all Hefger, his Ola is now considered an Ola Shem Lo Bailim, and therefore Rabbi Yossi excludes it under the pasuk of Olas Ish. This is not an Olas Ish because there's no ownership here, and therefore the Kohanim have no rights to the R. Now, what I'm curious about in this case of Ger Shemes V'Ein Lo Yarshim, exactly who and why are we being makriv of the karbon? You know, in other cases of Mesu Bailov, we spoke about, maybe not in Chatos, but in other Karbonos, that there are Yarshim that could bring the Karbon of their father, Al Shem Chovas Aviv, and we can apply the principle of Shibud Doraisa that obligates the Yarshim to bring that Karbon. But here, there are no Yarshim. Now, in the note here, in the name of the Sfas Emes, he quotes a Sugyan Baba Basu Kufayin Hey, according to one opinion, Shibud Alav Doraisa, which means that if a person dies, there is no Chiyuv to bring the Karbon. If he was Mafresh a Karbon and he died, that's not called Olas Ish, and the R doesn't go to the Kohanim. And if that be the case, we don't have to mention Ger over here, just anyone who dies. If you hold Shibud Alav Doraisa, there's no obligation on the part of any of the heirs to bring the Karbon, and therefore there's no private bailus on this Karbon, and the R should not go to the Kohanim because it's not Olas Ish. Why was Rabbi Yossi compelled to quote the case of Ger Shemes? And apparently the answer that's offered here is that this Tana holds Shibud Doraisa Milvak Subitora Bishkiksu Vishtar Dami, and this is all a complicated sugi b'choros daf mem tesam in beis. Alternatively, Ish Yisrael Shemes, if a Jew dies and the Yorshim bring the carbon, they do get some sort of a kapara. And this is a sugya that we're learning now b'iyun in the morning in Zvachim Daf Vav. That would make it into Olas Ish. Now again, exactly what the nature of the kapara is when the Yorshim bring this carbon, which might depend upon two deis, Rabbi Yochanan and his phantom Bar Plugta, of whether Yerusha Kanya or Lo Kanya. But we have to assume, based on the sugya there, that even if you hold like Rabbi Yochanan, Yerusha Lo Kanya, nevertheless there's still some element of kapara which the Yorshim achieve. So we're now holding four lines up from the bottom of Kuf Gimel, and the Gemara quotes a brisa darshaning this pasuk Olas Ish. Tana Rabbanan, the pasuk again, as we've seen over and over again in Vayikra Zayin, v'hakohen makrives Olas Ish, or ha'olah asher hikriv la'kohen lo yeh. Ainly, says the brisa, ela Olas Ish. There, the kohenim have rights to the or, as the pasuk says, lo yeh. Olas gerim noshim vavodim minayin. How do we know that the or goes to the kohanim? And it's maybe the word ish is coming to exclude noshim vavodim. Rashi doesn't have the girsa gerim over here because there's no svar to mechalik between ger and yisrael. I mean, we spoke about the ger shemes, but here we're talking about a ger that's alive and well. So let's focus now on noshim vavodim that might be excluded on the word ish. Tamalomar or ha'olah. Interesting. Now the word ha'olah becomes a ribui. In the past, we've spoken about ha as a mute. That was the drasha we had early on this daf in the name of Rava, that it's got to be ola rishona. That's when the coin gets the R, as opposed to ola shnia, which is mosros of an osham, which is purchased as an ola. But now he's talking about ha'olas a ribui, and the ribui is riba olas noshim vi olas avodim, that the R goes to the coin. Kain now is stuck. If you have this ribui, so what is the miud here? It says olas ish. If it's not coming to exclude Isha, or Eved has the same status as an Isha, so Eved Kanani. So what is it coming to? Sumatam and Lomar. So he says, Olas Ish, Ola Sha'olsa Le'ish, that it goes up on the Mizbeach, and therefore it has a Bailim, it's a Kosher Karbon. And we said over and over again that the concept of a Zchus Kohen in the Or of the Ola is conditional on the fact that the Ola is Kshera. Prat l'nishkata chutzim zmanim chutzim koma, if the ola is psula, then there's no bialim. And this, of course, will take us back to the beginning of Masech Tzvachim, and we have to start analyzing, you know, when is it that, you know, the wrong machshav is machshav posels and the carbon is posel, and when is it only a hafkav the kiyum chovaso, and the bala carbon, as a result of the wrong machshava, the coin has to replace the carbon, but the carbon itself is kosher. But now we're talking about a case where the machshava is an absolute machshava haposelis, which is chutzu zman chutzu limkom, and there's no bailim on the carbon. It's not called olas ish, and therefore the din is lo yu hakonim zakoin bior. The coin are excluded; they don't have no rights to the or. Is yachal? I might include shani marbe. Because there the Mishnah says at the beginning of Zvachim that the carbon itself is kosher despite the machshava shelo lishma in those korbanos which we have in mind here in the Mishnah, is therefore I might, on the one hand, it's a complicated situation because one side is to say, well, the carbon is kosher, and therefore maybe there is bialus on this carbon, and therefore the coin should get the R. On the other hand, we say, lo also a bialus shem chova, So there really is no full-fledged bailus. It's a din in the heft of the carbon. The carbon has to be nikrav al gabi mizbeach. So therefore, the Brisa says that I could interpret that ho'il v'lo also labailim, since it's not ol labailim l'shem chova, therefore, and we're turning now to Kuf Gimel and Beis, lo yu kohanim zakoim bi'ora. You know, once we've excluded the kohanim and the or from nishchatash chutz l'zmana chutzim koma, where the carbon is in Gantz impossible, then maybe even in the case of shalol l'shma, where although the carbon is not possible, but nevertheless the bailim are not yotzi dechovasam, so it's really not olas ish, he doesn't have bailus, is lo yu kohanim zakoim bi'ora, talmud lomar. And here we have a ribuy or ha'ola mikomakom. And that's going to teach us not only the case of olas isha, as we said before, but also the schus of the kohanim in the or, in a case where the carbon is kosher, albeit it's not ola l'shem bailim. But this ribui, again, it's a little bit strange here because we used this same exact ribui just a second ago in the same brisa to be marba olas noshim. How do we use that now to be marba the case of shalol shma? That I'm not sure about. The brisa continues with this ribui of ar ha'ola, ainli ela ar ha'ola. Or else, kochi kochi. What about chatos vi osham? How do we know that the coin has chus in the R? And you and I would have said at this point, which is going to be Rabbi Shmuel later on, that there's a kalachomer. If the Torah was mezaka in the case of ola, the R to the coin to the R, where the rest of the carbon is, you know, the coin has no shaykhus, it's kuli kol. How much more so in chatos vi osham, where the Torah gave the coin rights to the basar? Certainly, the coin should have rights to the R. But the Brisa now is not holding that kal v'chomer. We'll have to see why. Minayin, how do we know that the R belongs to the kohanim in all kachi kachim, not just in all the Talmud Lomar, R ha'ola? And again, we're assuming somehow there's a ribui here, but maybe if you read the next two words in the Gemara, just cross out R ha'ola and take a look at Nagos Tziyunim here, who takes out R ha'ola. But it says Asher Hikriv, those two words are extra, the superfluous as a ribui, to include all kodshe kodshim, which means to include chatos v'osham, and I would assume shalmei tzibur as well, is talmud. So that's where the Torah is coming to be marba the schus kohanim in the or of all kodshe kodshim. Yochalam, I think shani marba af kodshim kalim. Which is interesting, because fundamentally, who has the rights in Kochi Kalim? It's the Bailim, right? Not the Kohen. And now, in a sense, you're ripping the R out of the hands of the Bailim. But yet, the Gemara thinks that once there's a ribui here, because again, even in Shlomim, there is some element of Schus to the Kohanim. Let's give him the R as well, and we'll extend this din from Kochi to Kochim Kalim, Tavad Lomar, Ola. Why did the Torah use the paradigmic case of the Ola for Kochi Kochim? It could have easily used other cases. Is Ma Ola, the Torah specifically singles out Ola to tell us that any ribui in the Pasuk, like for example we said Asher Hikriv, has to be Dumya Di Ola. It has to be an extension of Ola. That's Kochi Kochim. That's kidugma li ola, but not kochim kalim. So therefore the or of kochim kalim did not go to the kohanim, but rather to the bailim, like the basar, not all the basar, but most of the basar. I mean, we'll give the kohanim the chaz of shok, but that's about it. Now Rabbi Shmuel comes along in this price, and he says, I don't need this whole tararam here with all these drushes and all these ribuyim, because I have a kal v'chomer. You want to expand the zchus kohen and v'or from the narrow case of ola to all of, and expand it to the scope of all kochi kochim, I have a kal v'chomer for that. Rabbi Shmuel omer, or ha'ola ein li ola ola, if you have a hav mina that only in the case of ola, That's where the Kohanim get his chus in the Or. But Oros Kochi Kochim, in the case of Chatos V'Yoshem Minayin, how do I know? Dinu. I derive from a couple of Chom. Ma Olishol Zachu Bibsara. What chus do the Kohanim have in the Basar of an Ola? And nevertheless, Zachu Biora. We give them the Or. Is Kochi Kochim, Shazachu Bibsara, Meino Din. How much more? Shazachu Biora. Again, it's a little bit strange because, you know, you could have actually said the opposite, that the Kohanim has to get something. So in the case of Ola, you know, the booby prize is, let's give the Kohanim at least the R, some recognition of the Kohanim, some contribution for the Kohanim. But in the case of Osham and Chatos, the Kohanim have a more substantial part of the boss. But now the Gemara is looking at the schus hakonim is a generic kind of a schus. And again, you might ask, well, let's use the same logic of this kalvachomer to include kachim kalim. But the answer is that kachim kalim, you know, with all the respect to the kohanim, but the Torah gave you know, very major schuyos to the Yisrael abaylim in the case of kachim kalim. So this kalvachomer wouldn't operate. So Eino Dinshin Zachu Bi'oron. So now Rabbi Shmuel says, and if perhaps you'll come over the Pircha to the Kal V'chomer and say Mizbeach Yochiach, Shezachu B'Basav Alo Zachu Bi'or. You're saying that in Osham V'Chatos the Kohen has a schus in the Basav. Therefore, if so fact, we're going to give him for sure a schus in the Or. But what about the Mizbeach? The Mizbeach has rights to the Basar, and that's distinctive parts of the Kol of the Osham and Chatos to get burnt on the Mizbeach, and yet the Mizbeach is excluded from R. So that should be a Pircha. So Rabbi Shmuel says that's not a Pircha at all. Ma'al Mizbeach shekem lo zocha b'miktas, which means that we're talking about an ein lo inyan. You know, you can't use the logic in the case of ein lo inyan. You can't say, the Mizbeach was excluded from R. What do you mean the Mizbeach was excluded? There's no precedent, no case whatsoever where the Mizbeach gets R. The R is not relevant to the Mizbeach. And therefore you can't bring any logical proof from something that's ein lo inyan le Mizbeach, meaning R. Tomar b'kohanim shezochu b'miktas, the kohanim get something from the Ola, and in other cases they get the R as well, meaning in the case of Ola, is hold the Zochu B'miktas, Zochu B'kule. We have more reason to say that they should get the R as well. We gave them part, and we're going to expand that to include the R as well. Now, Rebbe comes in this Brisa from another perspective entirely. And his logic is that there's no question, it's like upgrade, it's certainly simple, without any psukim and any yalfuses to derive the conclusion that the R of Kochi Kochim goes to the Kohen. We're going to have to see what he does with all the psukim. But Rabbi Omer kol atzmo lehutzrachna li R ola bilvad. The only, within the world and the constellation of Kochi Kochim, it's as we said before, it's assumed for sure that the Kohen will get the R, just like they get other parts of Kochi Kochim in the Basar. But we needed a pasuk to include Ola. Shevichol makom or mahalich achar abasar. The R is always nachshlept. It's always carried over by the boss. Whoever is zochin the boss is zochin the R. For example, in Parim and Israfim, Usirin Israfim, where the bossar is burnt, is we burn the oros with the bossar. As Hain Vol Rasein Israfim imayim. And that's based on a pasuk in the Chatos Miluim in Vayikra Ches Vesapar Ves Oro Saraf Be'esh. And with regard to other korbanos on Israfim, the pasuk in Vayikra Dalet says Ves Or Hapar. The Hotzi is Kol Hapar Vesaraf Oso. And also in the case of Par Chatos and Seir Chatos, Asher Huva is Domam L'Chaper Bakodesh Vesaraf Be'esh Oro Sehem Orosom Ves Psorom. So we see that the R and the Basar become one unit, inseparable. Is Chatos V'Yoshem V'Zivchei Shal Mitzivah. In all these cases of Kochi Kochi, we're not a Pe'ola. since the Torah gives the basar to the Kohen, is matana l'Kohen, is therefore the Kohen gets the R as well. Now, what does the Kohen do with the R? He has two options, two alternatives. Ratzu, if the Kohen wants to do afshata, and he wants to take the R and do what he wants with mafshita, and also he has the right to do so. Lo ratzu, if the Kohen doesn't want to take the R, is al gabi oron, meaning the Torah never commanded the Kohen in afshata sa'or. He's allowed to do whatever, he has license to eat the carbon together with the R. Again, I don't know how tasty that'll be, but anyway, the Torah is mezakeh the R to the Kohen, together with the basar. And they have two options, either hafshata or to use the R as is. But kachin kalim is labailim, the basar belongs to the bailim, is then the bailim get the choice what to do with the R, because again, the R is always one unit with the basar. And therefore, Ratzu, if the Bailam want to use the R, Mafshitin or so, they just simply, take off the hides of the animal. Ratzu, if they want to eat the R together with the Basar's Oakland or son, Al Gabi Oron. Avol Ola, but here's where we need a Pasuk to teach us that the Kohanim have rights to the R. Why? Because Nemar Ba, the Torah says, "Veifshit es ha'olav and itachosa linesachel." The Torah requires hafshata in the R, and the pasuk says, "Ve'archu es hanesachim ala esh," and that means the nesachim, the dismembered parts and limbs, is muktarim, but not the R. So, what do we do with the R? The Torah doesn't tell us. Yochel, I might think, "Shelo yu kohenim zakoim bi'ora," that the Kohanim don't have any rights to the R, because the Basar they don't have any rights to, so why should they have rights to the R? And therefore, let's give the R to the Bailim. Talmud Loma, the Torah says, R ha'ola sheri krivu la'kohen lo yir. So that's where we need a pasuk. But as far as kodshi kodshim is concerned, that's chatos, oshim, and shalmitzi, but that was upgrade. That was no-brainer. That was simple. Now here we have a shtickle Torah from the Evan Ha'azel, the Rosh Yeshiva of Eitz Chaim Yeshiva here in Yerushalayim, Rabbi Zalman Meltzer, and this is in Maisa Korbanos Perek Yud. He says he was a Baki in Kodshim. He says that there may be enough community here between the Tanakama on the one hand, and Rabbi Shmuel and Rebbe on the other. According to Rabbi Shmuel and Rebbe, we're dealing with the Schus Kohanim and the R of Kodshi Kodshim as a derivative of Basar, whereas the Tanakhama says that the Schus Kohanim is derived from the Ribui of Asher Hikriv, and then Afkamina might be Balmum, because a Balmum has Chia in the Basar, as we discussed, I think it was yesterday or the day before, even though he's not Roy Lavoda, and therefore, once he gets the Basar, he gets the R as well. It's a package deal. That's what we discussed here at great length in Rebbe's logic. But according to the Tanakhama, that the Schi is derived from Asher Hikriv, then the language of Asher Hikriv means that he's got to be Roy Lakrova, Roy Lavoda. And in the case of Bali Mumim, if you want to ask the question, does the Kohen Bal Mum have rights to the R? The answer would be no, according to this sheet of the Tanakhama, because it says Asher Hikriv, and he's not included in Asher Hikriv. A beautiful, beautiful chiddush of the Evan Ha'azel. Now, Rebbe continues to darshan the rest of the pasuk. It says Va'Kohen Ha'Makriv. Okay, that's the important two words here in this pasuk. Es olas ish, or ha'olas shehikla kohen lo yir. In other words, this is the source for the kohen ha'makriv getting the rights to the R. And it's got to be a kohen ha'makriv. That's the description of the kohen. He's got to be roy lahakriv. And we said before, back in the Mishnah Daf Tzadiches Amid Beis, that this miut of lo yir, meaning lo to the kohen ha'makriv, but not to anyone else, Memait says Rebbe, this is going to exclude prat, lit, tvul yom, chusuk kapara, and oni. These are the three categories that we discussed at great length, where the kohen is not a kohen ha'makriv. And if you remember, when the kohen tvul yom says, at least give me the basa for tonight when I'll be tar, the other kohen, the You know, the Kohen Torah counters against, well, are you a Kohen HaMakriv? Here, take the dam. Can you be Zorik the dam? And the same applies to Mechusa Kapar and Onin. All of these are excluded from the Avoda. I mean, in Onin you have the case of a Kohen Gadol, but that's the exceptional case. So in other words, according to Rebbe, we need a separate limud, a separate Yalfusa to exclude the Zchia of these three categories of Kohanim from the Ar HaOla. And it's not enough to exclude them, as we mentioned earlier, Daf Tzadik Ches and Beis Arites, from the Chalukas Basar HaKodshim. If you remember that whole discussion that when the Kohen Tvul Yom comes and says, well, include me in the Mechus, in the Chalukah, we have to counter against him, and we needed a special limit, because at the end of the day, the Kalchomer that we wanted to use didn't work out. The Tvul Yom was a smart act. He outsmarted the Kohen Tar, but the Kohen Tar quoted a Pasuk. But that Pasuk is only going to exclude the Tvul Yom, as the example of these three cases, from Chalukas Basar HaKodshim. However, Yochel, I might think that on the one hand, you might say, well, let's exclude them from the Basar. Right? So let's read it in here. Yochel, I might interpret it, Shalom, Yizku B'Basar. They don't get the Basar of the Korbanos. That's only Shehu Omid Lachila. These are not Roy Lachila. But nevertheless, as far as R, which is not even a Heftza that's Roy Lachila, it's not an Ochel. Again, maybe you could stand on your head and roast it and eat it, but in and of itself, the R is not an Ochel. She'eno Roy Lachila. Is therefore, I might think that as far as Chus, you know, the R is to be viewed not as an Ochel. You know, we exclude. We exclude the rights of the Tful Yom, etc., for Chalukas HaBosar, because Chalukas HaBosar is Litzorech HaChila, is an Ochel, but Chalukas HaOr might have nothing to do with Achila, and maybe therefore when the Torah gave a Zchus to the Kohen as vis-a-vis the R, maybe it includes even these Kohanim. And Talmud Lomer, that's why, says Rebbe, we need that Pasuk of a Kohen HaMakriv, and then it's Lo Yeh, that only a Kohen is Roy LaKrova, is Asher HaKohen HaMakriv is HaOla, then he's Zocha in the R. Prat, L'Mechusa Kippurim Tful Yom V'Onen, these three categories of Kohanim that are not Roy LaVoda, they don't get the R. Now, I'm not exactly sure what the status of the Balmum is, because the Balmum is Roy Lachila, but he's not Roy Lavoda. So I don't know, right now, I'm not sure, and I apologize, I don't know what's the deal with the R of a Kohen Bal, vis-a-vis the Kohen Bal Mum. He's not a Makriv, a Kohen a Makriv, but yet he's a Kohen a Ochel, and he gets part of the Chalukah. So I'm not sure about that. My gut feeling on a conceptual level that he should be excluded from the R, but on the other hand, Rebbe's miut here of a Kohen a Makriv doesn't mention. He has a list of three cases, Tvul Yom, Mechus Kapar, and Onid. He doesn't mention a Balmum. So I'm just a little bit perplexed about that. I don't see anything here right now. Oh, the Tanakama. Now the Gemara wants to understand, what does the Tanakama, who had the Ribui for Or Kochi Kochim in Kohanim, is Nami typically Medina? In other words, why doesn't he accept the logic of the Kal Vachomer that we saw in Rabbi Yishmael? And the answer is, you know, you're bothered with the Tanakhama's extra pasuk here that he used in order to derive Allah, which logically we could have derived even without the pasuk. The answer is Milsa the Yossi the Kal Vachomer Tarach Lekasav Lakra. That often the Torah goes out of its way to spell out that which we could have derived from a Kal Vachomer. He has here in the note here, Akasha, that why does Gemara bother here? Because the Kal Vachomer goes only so far. The Pasuk itself goes even further. The Kal Vachomer tells us that a Kohen Tamei, if he's not Roy Lakrova, then he should not be Zoche in the Or, even in the case of Korban Tzibur, because he's not Zoche in the Basar. Even in the case of Korban Tzibur, he might be able to do the Avoda, but he doesn't get the Basar. And we're going now, according to that Svara, that Basar and Or is sort of a package deal. So therefore, the Kohen Tomei should be excluded from the R based on this Kal Vachomer. So maybe we need the Pasuk to teach us as a Ribui that in the case of Kohen Tomei, he does get the R. And there's a sugya about this in Bava Kama Daf Yud. The maskana of the sugya is that a Kohen Tomei in fact does not get the R. He has no rights to the R, even in the case of a Korban Tzibur, because he's not Royal Avoda. And once again, this sounds very reminiscent of the Balmum situation. So you have to go through the sugya there above a Kama Daf Yud. The Gemara asked Rabbi Yishmael, Hai Asher Hikriv, my Ovid Le. We have a ribui of Asher Hikriv. The Tanakama used that ribui to teach us that Oros of Kachi Kachim, of Asha Mechatos, etc. are Lakarnim. But according to Rabbi Yishmael, we derived that already from a Kal Vachomer. What is Asher Hikriv? And the Gemara answers, that's a miut, prat, litvul yom, chusukapara, and onen. That these three categories of konim were not roi lakrova, they're not included in asher hikriv, therefore they don't get the R of kodshi kodshi. So Gemara asks for tepuklei, mi lo yiyah. Rebbe had derived from the pasuk lo yiyah to exclude these three cases. Why wouldn't that satisfy the curiosity of Rabbi Yishmael, why does he need Asher Hikriv? And the Gemara answers that Rebbe needs Lo Yia for something else, for a different din. The Om Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Yishmael, Nemar Bi Ola, it says Lo Yia, Venemar Bi Asham Lo Yia, and now we have a Gzeir Shav between Ola and Asham. Malahan, in the case of Asham, Atzmosav Mutarim. In other words, there's no isur of hegdesh on the atzamos. You could use them to make kelim. The basar is nechal akonim, and there's no din of isur nosar on the atzamos. In other words, the din that nosar has to be burned va'ish disrofu. That's only in a dover roi lachila. It says hanosim ibasar hazelah va'ish disrofu, and that doesn't apply to the atzamos. Is afkan here also in a carbon ola atzmosav mutarim? There's no din of an isur nosar with regard to the atzamos. Again, you have to make sure that the atzamos are pure atzamos, and there's no, and this Rabbeinu Kananeli points out, there's no basa that's attached to the atzamos. So there's a kzayis basa that's attached to the atzamos, then there's going to be a din of nosa. But let's assume it's pure atzamos without any basa. And the answer is that even though the karban ola is kulo kolil, the whole thing is burnt, but nevertheless, there's no din of nosar as far as the atzamos is concerned. That's derived by Rabbi Yishmael from a gzeirah shava of lo yia to karban asham. So again, even though in the case of asham, the besar is nechal lekohanim, and the chiddush is that since atzamos is not nechal, it's not an ochel, therefore it's not included in the din of nosar, of basa that was left over that wasn't eaten, in the case of Ola, you would say that since it's Kula Kolil, then there's no difference between the Basa of the Ola and the Atzamos. For that, we need Gzeirah Shava to exclude the Atzamos from the din of Sreifa Kolil. The Gemara clarifies that. It's got to be Mufni. In other words, you have to make sure that the Pasuk Lo Yia, which you're using from Ola, which you're using to the Gzeirah Shava to lo yeh and ashem is going to be mufne. It's completely superfluous and it's unnecessary. They're extra words. The ilo mufne, because when you have a gzeir shavah that's not mufne, it's not an ironclad gzeir shavah. It is vulnerable to a pircha. And here we could say the following pircha: ma ashem shekem besaru mutar. Since there's a din of achila with regard to the basar of an asham, we can extend that heter even to the atzamos. But in the case of ola, where everything is burnt on the mizbeach, there's no heter basar, then maybe the atzamos should also be asar, should also be kulei kolil. So we have a pircha against this gzeirah shavah, this equation, the analogy to asham with regard to atzamos, and therefore we must have what's called a gzeirah shavah mufna. And therefore the Gemara says that lo yia is a kroyiserahu, it's completely superfluous, and therefore it becomes mufna, and that allows us, that gives us license to derive the gzeirah shavah, meaning the pasuk could have said ola or ha'ola shar hikriv la'koin, it didn't have to add the words lo yia, and therefore it's mufna for gzeirah shavah. What I'd like to see if we can fit in before our time runs out is the next Mishnah, which is here towards the bottom of Kuf Gimel Amid Beis. We learned in the previous Mishnah that Kodshe Kodshim, that's Asham and Chatas, like the Ola, the R belongs to the Kohanim. The Mishnah wants to know what are the dinim if the Kodshe Kodshim became Pasul before they took off the R, before the Afshata. So the Mishnah says, Kol HaKodshim, where the Kohen gets the schus for the R, meaning Kodshe Kodshim, She'erub hem psul kodem lehef shetan, if the Kohen became posel before the Afshat, before the R was taken off the animal, or the Basar, wasn't separated from the Basar, is Eino Roseim leKohenim. The Kohenim are excluded, they're bumped off from their rights to the R, and the carbon has to be burnt, and it's burnt together with its R, and we're not going to do the afshata to allow the Kohen to enjoy the benefit of the R. However, if the psul took place liachar afshatan, so there was already afshata, and the R is now separate from the basar, then the din of sreifa is only on the basar and not on the R. Or Oseim LaKohanim, and therefore if there's no din of sreifa, then the Kohanim go back and claim their rights to the R. Omer Rav Chanina Skan Kohanim, Mi'omai Lora Isi R Sheyotzi LeBeis HaSreifa. I never saw with my eyes a case where the R that was taken off the basar, off the animal, and it was burnt. So it means that even if there was the psul preempted or predated the hafshata, nevertheless, let's say the animal turned out to be a treifa, but we only found out about it after the hafshata. Comes along Rabbi Chanina, he says something amazing, that since we didn't know, machnish visitik, as we say in Yiddish, he was not aware of the psul, he didn't know it was a bamus treifa, and he only found out after the Afshata. The Afshata now accomplishes a separation of the R from the Basar in such a way that the Sreifa is only on the Basar, not on the R, and therefore the Kohanim get the R. Amar Rabbi Akiva Midvara, from the logic here, the statement of Rabbi Chanina, Skan Kohanim Lamadnu, Shamafshit Es HaBachar V'nimtza Treifa. They did the hafshata of the R in the case of Bechar. We have to see why Rabbi Akiva singles out the case of Bechar here. But in any event, after the hafshata, we discovered that this Bechar was a treifa, and we have to go out and burn it. Is ye osa konim bioro? Nevertheless, the konim have rights to benefit from the R because the hafshata was done before we discovered and proclaimed the animal to be possible towards trefa. And again, even though the seeds were sown, and even though we're not aware of it, but we weren't aware of it, but nevertheless the psul of trefa was there before the afshata, nevertheless the R goes to the Kohanim, because the psul was not recognized until after the afshata. That's what we understand from Rabbi Chanina. Again, I'm not 100% sure why Rabbi Akiva had to add this. I mean, we understood this in Rabbi Chanina even before Rabbi Akiva. There's another kasha here from the Briska Rav that Shchitas Treifa is Metaher, is Metaheres Tumas Nevela, the Tumas Nevela Beis Ablia. However, as far as Achila is concerned, there's no such thing as a Heter Shechita. And if that be the case, the Iser Trefus is not some sort of secondary Iser that's Rochev Olav, that's, you know, like an Aryud, but rather there's no Heter Shechita, there's no meaningfulness or Chalos Shechita as far as the Heter Achila is concerned. So therefore, how can you be matir the or to the Kohanim? Because if there's no heter shechita, then even if it would have been shechita schulin, if there's no heter shechita, how are we going to be matir the or? So this has to do with a concept called dam meratza al ha'or. But let's just finish up the Mishnah. V'chachomim omrim ein lo ra'inu raya. Now it's the fact that Rav Chanina never saw it with his eyes. He never saw that the R was actually burnt. That's not a proof for anything. That doesn't mean that the R is mutter to Kohanim. It's very possible that it never happened during his lifetime, that they found a psul in the carbon, which predated the Hafshata, and they only discovered it after the Hafshata. And therefore, El Yetzel Lebeis Hasreifa. Actually, it embellishes the Chacham's argument with another scenario. Perhaps they burnt the oros, and Rabbi Chanina never saw it. So maybe they burnt the oros because since the animal was possible, it was already a treif before the Hafshata, they had to burn the oros as well, and the Kohanim have no rights, it's Nisraf with the Basar. So therefore the din is, according to Chacham, Yetzei Lebeis HaSreifa, there was a psul in the carbon before the Hafshata, and therefore the or is considered part of the psul of the Basar and has to be burnt together with the Basar, because the Psul predated the Hafshata, and the Kohanim have no rights to the Or, even in this case. So we're holding now in the Gemara on the bottom of Daf Kuf Gimel Amid Beis. The Gemara is going to try to determine who is the author of our Mishnah, and also the Mishnah back on Daf Kuf Gimel. Now we're going to need some introductory material based on a sugya later on Kuf Dalid in a machlok shin Rebbe and Rabbi Lazar Reb Shimon in the case of Hafshatas or a carbon, but we neither, that will cover in the Shia tomorrow.